Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a documented group of stories intended to explore the world of universal energy and its laws as a means to align our physical life to our inner soul being, and in the process to become more conscious, awakened citizens working for personal development and a more unified world community. It is my great pleasure today to welcome David Christopher, author of a Nautilus Silver Award-winning book, The Holy Universe, a new story of creation for the heart, soul, and spirit. The Nautilus Award is the most prestigious book award in transformational literature. Hi, David.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
My pleasure, and congratulations for your lyrical storytelling, bringing consciousness science and a vision of wholeness for our world, so needed in these challenging times. David, as listeners of Healing From Within know, the show welcomes seekers who share a clearer, more open-minded way to preserve the best from the past and stories of ancient wisdom as we move into a more personalized and spiritual approach to self-mastery and self-investigation of our intuitive soul natures, and as we find creative and visionary ways to correct the ethical decline, disregard for the environment, and the growing financial division that threatens a more compassionate and loving human reality. In today's episode of Healing From Within, David Christopher describes his reason for writing The Holy Universe, and he writes, "Like so many people who left the faiths of their youth, as an adult, I yearned to believe in something. But as the religious interpretations of the scriptures proved deeply unsatisfying to me, so too did the cold, factual stories of modern science fail to speak to my spirit. I struggled with being in an unjust world seemingly bent on ecological self-destruction. I craved spiritual direction that encompassed more than self-help, a story that could help me create meaningful work for myself that made a difference in a world of extinctions, deep injustices, and spiritual poverty. So I abandoned my own telling of the story of creation, one that feels reminiscent of the scriptures and helps me make sense of the profound crisis of our times. These dialogues have helped me make sense of both science and the spirit, have helped ground me in the cosmos. Perhaps you will find them useful too." David, I have to thank you for the lovely way expressed in those words that have captured my own spiritual awakening process and that of so many of these times, people who are visionaries and leaders and who hope for a merged world of sensibilities and sensitivities so we can discover the truth of who we are, where we come from, and how at this juncture in the evolution of humanity, we have to gather together beyond the false beliefs of our childhood to find the wisdom of our evolved collective soul needs. So I thank you very much. Now, David, please tell us something of a childhood memory or experience that may have early on been a factor in your own discovery of your future life interests and values and goals, because I find very early on the pattern is there. The seeds are sown for the people we will develop into.
Well, there is actually an autobiographical section of this particular book. I mean, just to give your listeners a quick overview of it, it goes through the story of creation between a dialogue and between a seeker and a sage. Like, let's look at the biggest picture possible, starting 13.8 billion years ago, and goes through the entire course of the universe's unfolding, the planets, life, web of life here on Earth, and then the development of humanity through ancient mind and modern mind and today's planetary mind. And then, so what? What does this evolutionary story have to teach us? And the autobiographical part comes right in the beginning of that, where when I was about 8 years old, I remember watching some kind of nature show, you know, National Geographic's, you know, or Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And I remember this particular show was a very somber show. It talked about the extinctions that were happening on the planet. And it showed this, you know, picture after picture of the, you know, a picture of seven beautiful cranes flying in formation, and the announcer intoning, "These are the last of their kind. Once they're gone, then this species is gone forever." It showed ranchers shooting and exterminating prairie dogs because they saw them as pests, even though we're now learning just how integral they are to a healthy ecosystem that actually benefits those ranchers. But back then we didn't know, so we destroyed them. And I remember watching these images and becoming absolutely unglued. I was inconsolable. And my dad, he's of the generation that, you know, boys don't cry, you know, you do not cry. And yet he could sense that there is something really going on here. This, I mean, he didn't try and shush me. He just was like, "What's wrong? What is wrong? Are you okay?" And when he finally got out of me what was going on, he said, "Well, certainly this is something to be concerned about, but certainly not anything to be upset over."
Well, I have to share something at this moment that's very important to what you're relaying. My son Greg must have been about 8 years old. And he started to tell me that he had seen a film at school that talked about Nostradamus, an ancient prophet, philosopher, who predicted many things that have come to pass over time. And he predicted a third world war in these times right now that would be started in the Middle East. And like you, he is a very sensitive, talented boy, and he felt deeply frightened for the course of events for all of us. And he reacted just the same way you did. Yeah. And I told him that we would do the best we could to make a world that would be more understanding so that we didn't go forward and have that to look forward to in the future. So it's great that you expressed that and that children are so genuinely honest and loving, and they do not want to see harm come to anyone, the animals, the universe, our planet, and other people that they love. So that's a great story. You left behind corporate and airline careers and pursued your passion for exploring these answers to humanity's questions about our place in the universe, and also studying the works of other transformational scientists and philosophers. And I know you worked with a group called Pachamama Alliance Awakening. Can you tell us something about some of the people you've met along the way and that group in particular?
Yes, certainly. This book actually came out of one of the programs of the Pachamama Alliance. And what part of their work in the modern world, or in modern mind, as the sage in my book calls it, is to awaken people to that we're actually in an old story. The story of modern mind is one of separation, that we're separate from each other, we're separate from ourselves, we're separate from the web of life, we're separate from the cosmos. And with that worldview, we've created an economy and a society that views Earth as we can do whatever we want and with it, but also views it as almost an object, that the only thing really to do is to just simply get a job and do whatever the job is and buy stuff, and that's our economy, that's our job, which is not very fulfilling. So the Pachamama Alliance wants to wake us all up into there's a new story that is possible. And this new story that is emerging essentially says that we are part of an incredibly mysterious, and it's a universe that is creative and behaves as if it knows what it's doing. And we are connected to this cosmos intimately since 13.8 billion years ago. Each of us is 13.8 billion years old. That's one thing I like to point out. And we belong here. We're not fallen like the old religions would tell us. We're not flawed like some of the old modern science would say. We're not some, we are part of this integral, we are an integral expression of this apparent vast intelligence and creative force. And even the new science coming out is beginning to agree with what we've known all along, that we are all part of this intelligent creative force of infinite. So the Pachamama Alliance, it talks about this new story in what program they call Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream. And my book actually came out of a section of that, because I really love the section where it tells the story of how did we come to be. It's like a bedtime story of, well, in the beginning, it was the beginning of all beginnings. And from that sprang forth particles, sprang forth galaxies, and from there stars and second generation stars, and eventually our planet, and eventually us. And we're all connected to that story.
So, David, there are no old stories. There is just a continuous unfolding of the same story of life and evolution and the conscious, higher consciousness that we are able to arrive at if we allow ourselves to go beyond the modern mind and the limitations that have been set up through the separation you just described before. Now, David, in the book, you tell a story which I like very much, which relates to my own hope to combine alternative and ancient healing modalities with modern allopathic medicine. And you write about a village which was removed from the civilizations of modern mind, and the villages were struggling with diseases that the doctors, the more modern doctors, so to say, could not heal. So they had to get beyond their opinions and attitudes towards the medicine of the ancient mind, or the shamans or natural healers. And when they worked in conjunction, they came to realize that one was not better than the other. Both had something very important to offer. And soon they were working, they overcame the distrust, and they were talking and communicating about important realities or multidimensional realities, as you were just talking about. So have you yourself studied or observed certain healing methods associated with the past or ancient mind? And do you see an improvement in the merging of both types of healing from the ancient and modern mind philosophy?
Well, let's see. I'm laughing because this tends to be a topic I'm hesitant to talk about, because my own spiritual teacher comes from an Amazonian tradition, and it's very private. It's very it's not something that is, you know, he doesn't throw himself out as this healer for all people. It's not exactly easy to find him, and I was very, very fortunate to have done so. But I can say one thing is that, this tradition is very much of ancient mind. And if I could boil it down to one thing, it really talks about how are your relationships? How are your relationships within your family? How is your relationship with yourself? How is your relationship with the web of life? How is your relationship with the cosmos? It really focuses on how are you doing in that regard?
Then healing comes through a multidimensional revelation of mind, body, and spirit, and attending to everything that is important personally and collectively. So it's more like a universal type of tapping into a higher consciousness. Now, I am a Reiki energy practitioner, and I tap into that higher informational field of energy, where there are many healing energies. We don't have to give it any name, but there are people sensitive enough to work with those energies, and through downloading those energies can help other people realize more about what's important for them. And in learning that, more about yourself and what really is important in this time and place for yourself, we achieve a type of healing, not necessarily of physical symptoms, although that is possible, but of knowing ourselves as the energetic and physical beings that we are. And then we can find a greater sense of peace and connectedness to the web of life that you talked about, and to each other. So I think that's the kind of healing, that's the kind of teacher you have probably been with. Well, someone who taps into all of these universal healing energies.
Yes, and who is also very clear that there is certainly a place for modern mind medicine. You know, it's certainly not to denigrate everything that modern mind has done, because it's done brilliant things, but it has come at a pretty high cost of a sense of disconnection many of us are left with without that. And I must say, part of what I find attractive about the work that you're doing is that, you know, you've heard the term, we are spiritual beings on a human journey. And we're also physical beings on a human journey. That there are many practices out there that sort of almost disdain the world, disdain Earth. The physical is really not that important. You know, it's really looking at a more spiritual sensibility and almost denigrating that.
Everything is important, yes. Exactly. We want to get to merging our modern mind, our physical life, with our ancient mind or our spiritual life, because that's what we're here to do, to remember ourselves as the totality of this oneness of connection to all of life. And once you do that, things get easier, things become more beautiful, your own beauty can shine through your physicality, and that is the search and the goal, and that's what all seekers, all philosophers, all writers, all musicians, all artists have, all shamans have always looked to do, to find the deepest part of the most beauty in the world, in ourselves, in the universe, and to bring it all into a package of oneness. So I like that you said that. Now, the sage describes in your book three different minds. And can you please tell us about the three different minds very briefly?
Yes, certainly. Ancient mind, or as the sage says, the story of ancient mind, emerged when we as a species, Homo sapiens, about 100 to 50,000 years ago, we became really good at language, and that's when we started telling ourselves stories. And the story that ancient mind told itself as it emerged out of Africa and as it migrated across all the continents, we had 10,000 languages that we created, 10,000 different stories of creation, but nearly all of them had the same essential theme of we are connected, we are part of this cosmos, we're part of the web of life around us, we're part of each other. And even though there was sometimes violence between, you know, intertribal and intertribal violence, there still was that story of deep connection. And that, we had that story for, you know, tens of thousands of years. And then about 10,000 years ago, just a mere blink of the eye, 5,000 BC or so, we started telling ourselves a new story. When we started getting really serious about systemic agriculture in certain parts of the world, and we started creating a new story. We started settling down into little villages, which turned into towns, which turned into cities and chiefdoms, which eventually became nation states and agricultural civilizations. And the story that was pervasive throughout that time was we are separate. We are not hierarchical. I am different than you. And we are separate from each other, and we're separate from the web of life, and we're separate from the cosmos.
David, isn't that when religion started to divide and many different belief systems were established and only this one was thought to be true or that, and that helped to separate people from the natural order of feeling and connecting through meditation or nature to actually know that reality of connection to all of life. So that was lost because the belief systems defined something so structured that we lost our feeling and our heartfelt based connection. We went into our ego more or less and into the illusion and into the fears of survival in a physical world. And we lost that trust and faith and hope from our heart or soul essence that knew that everything would be all right. Ultimately, it was one circle of life.
And the religions that came forth, I mean, all the major religions, not that I'm a religious scholar, so I can't say, you know, every single religion, but the religions that came forth that we know of as the major religions, It was very intriguing when I realized, and I sat back as I was writing this, that all the religions really had at their essence that you are separate. Something happened, and you, a schism occurred between you and creation, whether it was Allah, whether it was Jehovah, whether it was Yahweh, whether it was the God of the Christian Bible, even the void in the Eastern traditions and the gods, that there is a separation, and here is what you need to get back into connection with that. And through that, and those religions arose, I think many of them arose out of this, out of what you were saying, like, wait a minute, what's going on with this separation story? This isn't a true story. And then the religion, modern mind started co-opting those structures so that it did exactly what you said. It's not about reconnecting with God anymore or reconnecting with a void or finding your place. It's more about do this ritual and do this particular, you know, toe this particular line and you will be okay. And you get into all kinds of weird dysfunctional things as a result.
And now we realize that the world has many problems because of the separation, and we need to move forward towards a new type of thinking, what you call the planetary mind. Tell us about that.
Well, the planetary mind is what it started emerging just recently. And in the terms of the context of our history, just even our human history, it's a blink of an eye. And if you look at it in terms of even cosmic history, it's just seconds ago, this mind, you know, metaphorically speaking, emerged. And it really is a story about reconnecting and rediscovering what we had all along. I mean, there's one particular, you know, there's a stanza here that I can read if you'd like.
Yes, please do.
And this overarching story that planetary mind is now creating for itself is this, and this comes out of the story that the sage is telling. The creative force of the infinite flows throughout and embraces the universe, whole and complete, ever-changing, ever creative, and ever destructive, as the infinite plays and dances, as it seizes catastrophe to create anew, as it yearns for ever greater order, ever greater complexity, ever greater consciousness, and ever greater elegance, as it drives itself toward life. We are thus made in the likeness of the infinite. We can awaken to a deeper communion with Earth, know and love our place within her web of life, rejoice in her, and share in her bounty. And we do so with gratitude, respect, and humility. For we know that while we have learned much, there is still much to learn as planetary mind awakens within the holy universe.
Well said. Now, David, you also discussed that the sage also talks about the enormous challenges that we have at this time. And you wrote this: the new planetary mind has the potential to help humanity navigate the perilous waters it has created for itself, because it acknowledges the deep connection that all life has with the cosmos, but also acknowledges the day-to-day realities of living on a finite Earth. Therefore, planetary also emphasizes that our actions have planetary effects and that we must be mindful of what we do if we are to survive. So this goes back to my son feeling a fear of loss of life in these new modern times, and you as a boy feeling a loss of species, mm-hmm. watching those shows that you did. And I saw a movie a while ago, a few years ago. It was with actor Keanu Reeves, and it was The Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't know if you're aware of that movie.
I am aware of it. It's been a while since.
Let me tell our listeners what happened in the movie. A human being who came to Earth, a spiritual being, maybe a being of, one might think, an angel, or a traveler from another galaxy, came to Earth to see how humanity was evolving. And he deemed that the populace was unfit to continue as they were headed towards destroying the planet, which fit into a larger universal plan supporting life beyond Earth, and which might have to be sacrificed so the rest of the universe could continue. Well, this is our job at this time and juncture in history. We must become responsible citizens, and we must help work together cooperatively. And I'm going to read something in a minute in the conclusion of the show that shows how you point that out. But at this point, I want to thank you, David Christopher, for your heartfelt story of humanity's evolution through the human and divine aspects of a world and people developing and learning to know themselves and society with a more accurate description of the way it was and hopefully will be as we connect to the universal consciousness and connections to all of life. For more information and to purchase this wonderful, illuminating book, go to theholyuniverse.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, David and I have shared the power of self-investigation into the world of energy, the web of life, physical life, and the enormous potential that awaits each of us as we rediscover the inner wisdom of our soul and eternal life force and review the past to be solidly and joyfully present in the miraculous events that are unfolding right now as we claim our right to work and live cooperatively and become the best version of ourselves and examples for future generations to find peace, world success, and a fulfilled life. David wrote, "But this example shows a way of getting out of habitual thinking on an individual level. Let's look at building a house from the perspective of harnessing the wisdom of the collective. If you asked all the people involved in building the house to a meeting, they'd all come with different ideas on how the house should be built. Sometimes these meetings become train wrecks. But if you brought in someone who was skilled, who helped these stakeholders deliberate the issues and information, indeed made sure to bring good information from all sources, made sure that there were people with different backgrounds and ideas in the room, and made sure the group fully heard each person, it's very possible that the group could find common ground, even among people with disparate positions. Done well, the worst that could happen is that the members will at least have more trust and respect for one another. The best that can happen is that a strong collective authority emerges from the group." David and I will continue to hope and work towards sharing a unified understanding of ourselves as energetic beings connected to all of life and to a greater unfolding plan for the refinement of our thinking and for our actions to manifest and create a world community filled with acceptance, tolerance, love, and prosperity for everyone. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear many people discuss the trials of the past and the trials of today in search for the magnificent possibilities for a future filled with the higher values and efforts by an educated and cooperative world community. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much.